Hello, Marvel fans, and welcome to another episode of Stand Up and Marvel. Today's episode, we're talking about the fourth episode of Moon Knights. Not going to do a non-spoiler segment today. We still love the show, still highly recommend it, so give it a watch if you haven't yet. But with that, let's get into it. All right, so Moon Knight episode 4. What'd you think, Mike?
I loved it just as much as all the other ones. My opinion has not changed. Episode 4, The Tomb, was some romance, some drama, a little bit of action, phenomenal acting again, and some great writing. So it was a little claustrophobic. You know, we were in the confines of a tomb, hence the title of the episode. But they nailed it, and there was a little bit of a horror vibe too.
I was gonna say this is definitely the scariest episode so far. There were definitely some moments in previous episodes, but the whole episode had more of a horror kind of feel to it.
Right. Yeah, kind of getting us ready for Doctor Strange in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very different episode. I was a little worried going into it, because I've stated this opinion several times before, but generally when superheroes lose their superpowers, I lose interest. Not because, that's a rule, just because it's generally just not as interesting to watch, but they did a really good job. And even though he lost his, like, Moon Knight superpowers, he still has the whole, like, personality thing going on, so it still kind of seems like a superpower in a way. Mm-hmm. So he's like, so it's a different kind of superpower, sort of. So isn't like completely losing, I guess. But yeah, no, it was really good. I liked it from start to finish. Really solid episode.
You know, it's the middle episode, so it could have went any direction, right? It's, and I feel like what they pulled off, it was again another episode that could match the other ones for different reasons. Like we said, there were a lot of moments in the story that accelerated. The biggest one for me was the announcement that he did in fact get killed, and they kind of foreshadowed Bushman. He said he had a partner that got greedy and killed her dad.
I felt like that was just a reference to the comics. I feel like we're not going to see Bushman. If it's true to the origin, I think Bushman was like defeated after he became Moon Knight. I don't know if he was killed, but he's at least defeated. So I feel like that was just a nod to the comics, but we'll see.
Oh, okay. I took it as a potential setup for a next villain. Because I don't see Ethan Hawke's character going past this season. I could be wrong on that, but I took it as a foreshadow of an Bushman, his arch nemesis, coming in the future. Cause this is just the beginning for him. This is
definitely a possibility.
It just started.
And Bushman is a very major character in Moon Knight. So could definitely
happen. Yeah. Well, when we did the deep dive for the episode, there was just a lot on him and Bushman. And I feel like it would be an opportunity that they shouldn't pass, but they did definitely drop it. Right. I mean, nonetheless, they did say it happened. He was killed and he didn't kill her dad. And they kind of hint her dad being the scarab. I mean, they said scarab quite a few times.
I mean, there was a reference again to the nickname, her being a little scarab, and Arthur was saying how proud her dad would be of her.
Right.
I don't know. There were like some subtle hints at it maybe, but they didn't strongly indicate that he was, a superhero, had superpowers. So I don't know. I actually need to research that character a little bit more, because I don't know if like what's it called, like bullet immunity or whatever. Like, I don't know if that's one of his powers, because if that is one of his powers, then that, you know, rules him out right away. I'm pretty sure he has super strength. Yeah, we'll I'll look into that.
Yeah, so there was a little bit of development in the writing, and we spent some time with Layla, and I love those scenes. I love the conversation between her and Arthur. I thought that was great. Phenomenal scene. And it was scary before that happened, you know, the hands jumping out of her. And that shot was so cool, of her getting dragged into the darkness and then coming out again and getting dragged back in again. That was so cool. I loved that. So whoever did that, thank you, because that was so cool. And her performance too, unreal. I loved it, honestly. I was so hooked in this episode. Again, what a surprise. All I've said the past 3 weeks is how much I love this show, and it's true. I mean, I'll be completely honest. It keeps my attention the entire time. I don't even think twice of my mind wandering to something else or looking at my phone or getting distracted. Like, I am hooked every time this is on. And if something happens around me in my room, I have to pause. I can't let it keep, because I'm hooked. I'm loving Oscar Isaac. I'm loving Steven. Again, another great episode for Steven, in my opinion. He's just so funny. Cracks me up with his banter and these little quips, and just great. And honestly, until you, this is how crazy, how like hooked I am and distracted by, in a good way, of how each episode's going. I completely disregarded that. Of course, you're right. He doesn't have his powers. Like, he doesn't have Moon Knight. Like, Khonshu is gone. That was the first shot of the episode, was Khonshu being put up on a mantle with like 10 other gods that they've already put in stone. And I didn't even like consider it, because I was just so in on the episode and the tone of it all, and the horror and the little bit of the adventure. Like, I was getting like Indiana Jones mixed with the Mummy. Like, the Mummy movies, like, kind of, like, yeah. It was cool. It was just, like, it was different.
Yeah, it was really done. And there was a lot of, foreshadowing moments, like, as they were going into the tomb, they were, like, hearing gunfire, and they were seeing blood on the ground, and it's like, oh, man, like, what's coming up? Like, it was legit scary, and it's just really well done. And Layla was really coming into her own. I mean, I guess she's already been kicking butt even before this, but like that fight with the sorcerer, you mentioned she kept like getting dragged back into the shadows, and then she like rips his arm off and puts a flare in his mouth or his eye, I don't remember, but she just completely owns that sorcerer, and just showing how capable she is. She doesn't need, you know, she doesn't need a man to protect her. She can handle herself just fine. But yeah, so she was doing awesome. And then let's see, so Mark ends up taking over in the end, you know, fights valiantly for a few seconds, but then he gets shot by Harrow, and then he goes into this whole dream sequence, which was crazy. I was like trying to figure out, I didn't know what was happening at first, because you're like, is this a memory? Because they show like this movie, and you realize that's where the Steven personality was born, but is that just like made up? Did Harrow plant that in his mind somehow, or maybe an Egyptian, one of the Egyptian gods, did they plant in his mind, or is that like actually a memory from his childhood? It was pretty confusing at first. I'm still not totally sure. I mean, at this point, it seems that it was definitely, you know, it definitely wasn't a memory, right? Like, maybe it was kind of mixed with some childhood memories, but it's definitely like happening in the present. We don't know what's causing it. We don't know if he's alive. But then that Egyptian god shows up at the end. And I looked it up. Her name was,
hey, how's it going?
Yeah. And it was Tawaret.
Their reactions, like Oscar Isaac so doing good. It. Clearly twice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In two different ways. It was so funny. Like, Steven was terrified.
And like, it just seemed very natural too, which is kind of impressive, because like a scream like that, it's it's hard to fake that and just like, he just did a really good job with it.
And it's the nicest, like, hi, hello. Like, it was not, it was not sinister. It was not intimidating at all. Yeah. It was kind. Warren was just, hey, how's it going? And they're like, whoa. Like, we just went from feeling super threatened to, like, what is going on right now? It was a way to end the episode, I'll tell you that much.
It was great. But yeah, so this goddess is the goddess of childbirth and fertility. So is that kind of implying that he's going to be born again and he's going to be, you know, changed, like reborn, different, you know, not the same Mark Spector that was shot by Harrow? Maybe he'll come out with the Moon Knight superpowers somewhat. Probably not. I don't know.
Like from his own will instead of being connected to Khonshu. Yeah. I don't know. I took it that it again, it's a movie. It's a show. I think he's still alive. I think he's somewhere half in between. You know, it's something like Matrix, right? Neo being in between the Matrix and the real world. Or,
yeah,
right, train station, you know, purgatory. If you, you know, were raised Catholic, Christian, you know about that. That's what my mind went to immediately. Maybe that's, you know, because of what I was raised. But honestly, that's what I took, was somewhere in between life and death. And his memories are all colliding together. His personalities are colliding together. His fear is there, you know, he's realizing why he's there in a really cool way. Like Arthur was like his psychiatrist and crushed that performance. Again, Ethan Hawke, man. Like, I love what Oscar Isaac said in an interview, is like, he could have just came in and just collected the check and like, no, he delivered. And that was like the first episode I saw that interview. And that has rang true this entire show. I don't even think there's been one episode where I'm like, oh man, Ethan Hawke, he just did his thing this episode. No. He's like in it. And it's really elevating the show for me, because that's been one of our things that we've talked about. And I know you agree with me that villains. Like, we got to have that power there. And for me, I'm going to go as far as to say, like, so far it's a standout for me, because I still look at him as a regular human in a way, but he's godly because he's also an avatar of a god. So it's like this like really crazy cross between the two. And he's sinister, and he's not a great person at all. And he's threatening, and I think maybe it's just testament to the writing and everything too. And not just the actor, but that's all coming full circle right now in this show. And this is definitely, I think when at the end of it too, we're going to all definitely agree that he was a standout villain for the MCU.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, there's still a lot of uncertainty, because like, yes, they're definitely painting him as the villain, but is there going to be like some surprise twist where he's actually kind of doing some good in a way? Because I don't know. There's like just enough gray area in there that I'm just not like totally convinced that he's
manipulation.
Just overlooking it, but
well, no, it's the manipulation. That's how good he is. That's how good the writing is. Is that?
Well, they, I know that's what they're trying to make thinking. It appear that he's like manipulating everybody. But I feel like maybe they're doing that on purpose to make it seem like he's like trying to manipulate people.
Sure.
You know, like I don't know. I'm not 100% convinced. But
well, we know he has it out for Khonshu. We can agree on that. He has it out for Khonshu. So there's a motivation there.
I mean, kind of, but he also did thank Khonshu. He said, like, my victory is all thanks to you. You know.
Yeah, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, there's just enough gray area. Like, yes, I would agree he's got it out for Khonshu, but maybe there's like, you know, they're saying things in just a certain way that it could be twisted later, you know?
Yeah. So I guess we have to look at Amit's motivation instead of Arthur, right? Should we look at what is really that god's motivation, aside from just being the number one and taking over everything? What else is there going on?
The
way that
it works, like the whole scales thing, when somebody dies, they go to this place to be judged. I don't remember the name of it. But they are the scales of a goddess named Ma'at. And that's the goddess of truth and justice, something like that. And whenever somebody is deemed to be, you know, unworthy, then Ammit devours that person. So, I mean, I would say, I don't know what Ammit's goals would be if that's like traditionally how it goes. It's just kind of like eats when he's told, or Ammit, got it. God or goddess?
I'm like 98% sure that's what they've said multiple times in the show, that it's a woman.
God. Oh, okay, goddess. It's a woman. Yeah, yeah. I thought so as well. But anyway, so just eats when she's told, based on how the scales choose to judge the soul. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe Ammit like decided to forego the scales or somehow cheat the scales to just make them read the way that she wants them to read. And maybe that's why she was banished. And I'm not totally sure what her motives would be. I guess just maybe just getting gluttonous and wanting to devour a lot more people than she's supposed to. You know,
do you think if Ammit actually was to rise again, it would be similar to the cow in the season finale of Peacemaker? Like in its mass and in its size?
I'm trying to even remember the cow.
I mean, I can't even. I still haven't forgotten
it. The space cow. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. The cow. And anyone that watched Peacemaker knows exactly what
a cow until you said
I mean, it wasn't really a cow. I mean, it was, but it wasn't. They were calling it the cow. But wow. I mean, yeah, that was something else. So I could picture something.
Do I think it's going to be like that? No.
No, I don't think it's going to be like that. But and its mass and its size. Yeah, no.
No, I mean, if Khonshu is any indication, I mean, I'd imagine they're about the same size, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, something crazy.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was, what an episode though, honestly. They definitely kind of put the gods, I mean, they talked about the gods, right? But it was like, I feel like the gods' presence, of course, because Khonshu wasn't there, God's presence was not in this episode at all. Yeah. Like, it was really about the humans.
Right.
In this one. On them. Yeah.
Speaking of the gods, the very first thing that happens, so when Osiris puts Khonshu on the, like, on the wall with the other gods that had been banished, I did try to recognize some of them. So I mentioned Ma'at. I'm pretty sure that god or goddess was not on the wall, which makes me think that the whole like scales thing might be legitimate because she's still out there able to do things. She's not banished, because I was kind of hoping she would be on the wall so that would be like proof right there that something funny is going on with the scales. But since she is not on the wall, that makes me think that maybe it is legit, which is another reason that I'm still like kind of unsure if Arthur is actually bad or good, because it does seem like it might be a legit judgment of people, not just him like picking and choosing who lives and dies. But anyway, she was not on the wall. And then I also noticed, what's his name? He's in the first Mummy movie, I'm pretty sure. This god,
you knew we were going to talk about Mummy, and we of course we're going to talk about it.
Anubis.
Okay.
Yeah, so yep. Anubis was one of the banished gods. Anubis, okay. The god of the dead. Okay. So I don't know what that means, but he was definitely one of the gods on the wall there. It was too zoomed out for me to really figure anybody else out, but I did spot Anubis for sure.
Okay. Good spot. I'm sure they'll touch on it more for sure.
Really liked all the symbolism that they've had on the show. There was like a moment early on where they were showing a goat. And the goat is the god of fertility, and there's a goat god that's it's called Thumb, something like that. It's a god of fertility, and that was shortly before Layla and Steven kissed. I felt like that might have been intentional.
I love that scene, by the way, where he's like, he's like, dude, that's like my wife. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. And then he punches
himself in the face.
Yep. And then Steven just does it, right? And then just straight up punches him in the face and then throws him down the shaft.
So like, yeah, that was kind of a fall. I was unsure about. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't know what belay meant, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the term for it? I don't remember. But anyway.
I remember.
So he didn't know what that term meant. So his fall could have been just because of inexperience, lack of knowledge of how to descend. It could have just been Mark throwing him down there because that's pretty much exactly what he said he would do.
Yeah, that's why I took it as. It was so funny. It was so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. I love that moment later on in the episode in the whole dream sequence when Mark finds Steven in the sarcophagus and releases him and they hug.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're like friends. It was a great moment. Yeah.
So that's the first time they actually, they're in like the same realm at the same time, mm-hmm. you know? It was a really cool moment.
It was.
Did you notice the third personality?
No.
Okay, so when they're escaping, after Mark releases Steven from his sarcophagus, they go down the hall, and there's another sarcophagus.
Yes, I did catch that. Yes, for some reason I thought you were thinking they haven't revealed an actual reveal.
No, I got someone else. It was just pounding on the sarcophagus, so maybe that implies that this personality is mute, because I don't know why whoever's in there would not be shouting to be freed, but
that's a good point.
And then you also notice that when they're going down that hallway, yes, that one door is open with the sarcophagus, with the, you know, assuming presumably the third personality, that's the actual violent one that's been killing everybody, but there's also a lot of other doors that are closed. So that makes me think, I mean, I feel like they did that on purpose to leave the window open for, you know, for the opportunity to add additional personalities if they want to do that. So we still don't know how many there are. There's definitely at least one more, and that mm-hmm. scene confirmed it for me. One thing I did was try to look at the symbols on the sarcophagus, because, like, you know, there were symbols on the sarcophagus that Stephen was in, and then there were symbols for the other guy, and I feel like there might be some kind of information there if you study the symbols closely enough, but I haven't had the time to do that.
Someone's gonna get it someone's gonna get it by the time the next episode comes out, for sure.
Yeah,
but that was a fantastic observation, and yes, I think we probably get the reveal next week instead of, you know, what we were guessing. Maybe I was thinking the finale, like that's how they ended off on, to like toss them up. But they definitely came together. That's happening now. And I think that it's probably next episode.
I hope so. They've been teasing it. I mean, it's only been two episodes now. I mean, technically, the third identity was revealed in the first episode, but we didn't know it was the third identity until the third episode. So.
Yep, it's true.
Yeah, so hopefully. I mean, they're going to have to get out of there. Yeah, I feel like you're right. I feel like it's going to be next episode.
Hopefully. Honestly, and I still can't even get over there's only two more.
Yeah.
I'm so like in this season. Like,
I know.
The six episode thing is good. I don't want to sound ungrateful, but
yeah, I mean, if you go too long, you kind of like run out of material, you overstay your welcome, and just kind of force episodes to happen. I mean, a lot of shows have those like recap episodes where they just like go back and show clips from previous episodes. So in a way, it's very good thing, so you don't have to worry about that problem.
I like the number eight. I really like eight.
Would be good. Yeah.
I just agree. Feel a little bit more, just a little bit more, not too much, not 10, not 12, just a little bit,
I think 10 would be fine.
Yeah. Personally. I know that.
But like some shows have like 24 episodes.
I
mean, it works for some shows, but yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, you're good. I completely agree. Some shows, like, wow, way too many episodes. Like, what is going on? But honestly, I think that they're going to change it up a little bit. I know that She-Hulk is more. I think She-Hulk is like 9 or 12 or something like that. And then wasn't WandaVision 9?
That sounds right.
WandaVision was 9, and then I believe all the other rest of them the entire year last year was 6. Well, aside from What If. But yeah, 6 seems to be like the number they're getting with the big ones, probably the bigger budget ones and whatever, I assume. I don't know why, who makes the decision, probably Feige, but like, who makes the decision how many episodes they're going for each. But 6 just seems to be the consistent number for right now, for what we're getting, because there's just more of them have sure. Only 6. But this one, for me, I don't know, I'm not trying to take away from the other shows last year, but for me, this is hands down the hardest one to let go of so soon. This is the hardest one for me to, like, wow, I only get 2 more weeks of this. Like, whoa.
Well, Loki, I mean, I guess the way that it worked out, it was fine with 6 episodes. But they definitely, I mean, that was the sure. opening of the multiverse. They definitely could have mm-hmm. drawn that out if they really wanted
to. Oh, yeah. 100%. And, but that show, for me, the pacing was a little bit different in this one, where I feel like Loki, like, really hit. Like that climax happened like the 5th episode. Mm-hmm. And then the 6th episode was unlike any finale we've had so far. And it was not an eventful one, but it was, right? But you know what I mean? Like, overall, it was not an eventful episode.
It was a very eye-opening, like, oh man, this is the beginning of everything. Mm-hmm. But there was like no action.
Nothing. Like, nothing at all. Like,
it was very different, but it was awesome.
It was awesome. Oh, it's so cool. I loved it. I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but that's the only finale I've stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning to watch so far, because I'm East Coast. So I have to wait till 3. And that's just a little bit too much of a stretch for me. Right. And I stayed up. That was huge. I had to watch it immediately. And I loved that I did. I was so hyped at 4 o'clock after. I was like, that was awesome. But yeah,
you can't go to sleep.
Yeah. And I was reading about it after. I was on the, of course, on my phone reading what everyone was saying that just watched it too. But this is the one that it's gonna be tough for me to let go, man. It really is. I'm loving this, and I just, now I'm ready for what's next.
Yep.
You know.
So somewhere in there, I meant to respond earlier. I just wanted to let you finish. You mentioned What If. Just something that I've noticed, at least with people that I've talked about Marvel stuff with, it's been surprising to me how few people have seen What If, which is like a little upsetting to me, but also, like, I don't know, people are really in for a surprise with Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness if you haven't seen What If, because that show really gives a lot of explanation of the multiverse. It really helps. I don't know. Plus, it's just awesome. And I really hope they keep that show going for a long time, because that's the kind of show that they could keep going forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. I don't know. I guess I'll just chalk it up to it being animated, as boring as that to sound.
No, that's exactly what I thought.
I really think that's just the simple fact that it's animated. And
they're going to be crossing over the animated with the live acting soon, probably as soon as Multiverse of Madness. So it's going to be necessary to watch that to keep up.
100%. And I'll tell you what, for everybody listening, I have tried my best to get into numerous animated shows in the past 5-6 years. And I always go through spurt and then I stop. Massive Star Wars fan. So I'm going to take my bias out of here of Marvel. Massive Star Wars fan. Still haven't finished Clone Wars. Still haven't finished Rebels. Still haven't done Bad Batch. I haven't watched Visions. Like, that's absurd for, I consider myself a massive Star Wars fan, and I haven't seen any of that. So that's crazy, right? But What If it's awesome. Like, it is so entertaining, because they're taking everything that you know already from the live action and just flipping it on its head and doing these crazy ideas. And I will admit, there were maybe like one or two of the episodes I was like, all right, that was okay. I really didn't enjoy the one when everyone dies, like he kills, like whatever. I'm not going to go into it, but you know exactly.
That's understandable.
The serial killer one was like, eh. But all the other ones, for the most part, were so entertaining. And really, I would doubt if you are even, you consider yourself like an average Marvel fan, casual fan, whatever. Give it a try. Give it a go and just see what's up. And
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Because there are some like very exciting things that I want to say about that show, but it would be big spoilers.
For sure.
You really need to watch it if you haven't. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll go back and talk about that show at some point. For sure. Because it was a lot of fun. Probably shortly before season two comes out.
Perfect. Yeah. And Marvel, I mean, Disney clearly sees how many people are watching What If and the retention of that, and when people like, oh, how many people just watch the first episode and then don't watch the rest of the season, or watch the first episode, three episodes, and let go or whatever. They know that. So like you said earlier,
episode at least three or four times.
Yeah, I watched it one go. But with that said, they know that. And to start putting things in live action instills urgency. You know, and people are like, okay, now I really need to drop everything. I need to check this out and see what it's all about. I need to dedicate a weekend and just binge it. You know, everyone binges Netflix shows. You could easily binge that in a weekend, hands down.
Yeah, easily. There's pretty short episodes too. They're only like 25, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So
right.
Dude, you could binge it in a night easily.
Exactly.
But yeah, so back to Moon Knight. As much as I want to talk about What If, because I do that show. So what else is there to say about this episode? So
we hit a lot of key points.
I did. There's an Easter egg I spotted. I don't fully know what this means. So there was a, when they were in the psych ward and they were panning around before they even got to Mark, there was a woman that was drawing a bunch of stuff, and she drew a representation of Khonshu with wings.
Remember that.
So I don't know if that's an indication that he's like involved with what's going on there, or if that was just yet another example of the things that he has seen in real life making their way into this dream sequence. Might have been all it was, but it was kind of subtle. Like, it wasn't like blatant in your face. You really had to be looking at it to see it. So that made me think that it maybe wasn't part of everything else that was just being brought in from real life. But I don't know.
I don't know either. That scene was a mind-bending scene. All of it. That was the finale of this episode. Woo! The music, so cool. When he's dropping into the hole. The black hole and the nothingness, but then it becomes something and real quick. And I can't wait to see what's come next week. It's going to be awesome. I feel like next week's going to be big, big episode.
Oh yeah.
Potentially bigger than the finale. I feel it. I feel it.
It could be.
Yeah.
So a couple more things. They showed a scarab, like, right after the Osiris scene, they showed a scarab, close-up of a scarab, and the symbolism of the scarab is renewal and rebirth. So I think that might have been foreshadowing for what's going to be coming in the next episode.
I still can't get over Mark grabbing a hatchet, and just like an Egyptian hatchet, it looked like, and just, or axe, and just nails like 2-3 people before I get shot. Like, at least he tried going out, you know, and not just taking it. He did his thing. What is he going to do in that moment, honestly?
Yeah, he did the best he could. I mean, if personality number 3 took over, then maybe it would have been a different story. But yeah, Mark did his best.
Yeah, I guess this wasn't the moment. That would have been cool, you're right. I guess this wasn't the moment to introduce the third. So they have a moment waiting for us.
But yeah, so the one other thing I wanted to mention, in case anybody who watched the episode is wondering, that Stephen Grant movie does not actually exist.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I looked it up. Funny, though. I wanted to know.
Oh, you did? Yeah. That was so funny, though.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Mm. It threw me off, too. I was like, oh, here we go. This is about to be something like totally weird and out there, and it's going to be awesome. Sure enough, it's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Oh, so we kind of briefly mentioned this, but the kiss between Layla and Steven.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big deal.
It is. We
didn't really talk about it much, but yeah, so Steven or Layla tried to kiss Steven first, and then later on, Steven ended up kissing her. Mm-hmm. There was like a lot of like flirting stuff going on between them. And yeah, so Steven mentioned that that Mark was just trying to protect her. So, you know, he's got Mark's back there, I guess, or his own back.
Yeah, he wanted to be transparent. He wanted to say, hey, by the way, you know, this is the reason why you don't feel as connected to him, because he was doing it on purpose. You know, kind of like, I don't know, maybe to be more friendly with Steven, Mark, but I think it's more of just that's who he is. Like he's going to be honest, you know, and especially someone he likes, and he clearly likes her. I thought it was really romantic, and I enjoyed that scene. I love Steven. Yeah. Steven is just great. Mm-hmm. I love him, honestly. And I want to love Mark more, because I want to know more about Mark. Again, I think if there was one thing to say, nitpick I have, I don't feel like connected to Mark at all, like at all. And to be fair, I feel like the show has gone given more to Steven.
Definitely.
More scenes, we get a lot more writing, more, yeah.
We get to see him interact with his friends and stuff. And we haven't seen really any of that with Mark. He's just been Khonshu's avatar the whole time, just trying to finish his mission so that he can move on with his life. And, you know, the deal that he made with Steven, that he'll just be gone after this business with Khonshu is done. So it kind of makes sense that that's all he's doing. Because he doesn't want to build relationships. He wants to just be gone and let Steven live his life without him after this is all over.
Oh yeah, makes sense. I just want more of him, you know, because I'm interested in everything about the character. Yeah. And Mark's a pillar of it. And I just feel like he hasn't gotten enough love. It's for a reason, and it makes sense, especially the way you put it. It's what's going on with him, but just, you know, I just wish we had a little bit more Mark love, but love Steven. Steven's incredible. So good.
And then big thing that happened that I don't think you brought it up. Arthur Harrow brings up what Mark was hiding from Layla about her father's death.
Oh yeah. I talked about it when I was saying, the dad and the Bushmaster are
oh yeah
out yeah yeah
we mentioned it was like really yeah but I, did we mention said, Mark's involvement? I don't remember.
Yeah, I said that okay. Yeah, I said that Mark wasn't the one that killed him. Mark was the one that he was there. So
yeah. So anyway, Layla found out about it. She was really upset with Mark and ended up storming away. And, you know, she was upset with Mark up until the moment he was shot. And then, you know, I think she started to feel a little less angry with him in that moment. But yeah, so not really sure where their relationship is at this point, especially with everything going on between Steven and Layla. So there's like a whole love triangle going on here.
Yep.
There's a very, very different kind of love triangle.
Yeah, so it's not technically a love triangle, but it is at the same time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Very weird.
I've never seen it before. Right. So, I mean, maybe what's that one movie with Jim Carrey? Me, Myself, and Irene. I think that's, isn't that personality disorder as well?
Yeah.
Where Renee Zellweger is so.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Remember. That's like a 90s movie all the way, for sure, or like early 2000s. But yeah, I've never seen a love triangle, if you will, in this. What about the Moon Knight like action figure dropped on the ground?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, to me, that was just another reference from real life being brought in.
Exactly.
And like that one was pretty blatant, unlike the Khonshu one. So I feel pretty confident that there's no Moon Knight shenanigans in there. Maybe there will be, but it just wouldn't really make sense just because Khonshu is, locked up and unable to assist Mark with his powers. At the same time, we were talking about this last episode. Somehow Amit is able to grant Arthur some of her powers, even though she's like imprisoned in her statue. Ooh. So, maybe Khonshu is going to somehow be able to get a little bit of his power out, and maybe that's like why Mark didn't die.
Okay. That's why he's stuck in some like halfway. That makes sense. I think you're getting really warm. That sounds really good though. That does. You make a really good point because Amit is still channeling power through the staff though, right? No, I guess he's just speaking through him too. But it's.
I mean, there's the power in the scarab, and there's the power in the staff, and those could just be things that she like, infused with her power before she was banished, and so she doesn't have like a connection to them. They're just, well, not really, but I don't know. I mean, maybe there'll be like some relic of Khonshu that suddenly makes an appearance, maybe something that Layla found that's gonna, revive Mark or something.
Oh yeah.
I mean, most likely it's gonna be something to do with the hippo, but
100%. 100%.
We'll see.
I can't wait.
Either way, I'm confused and excited, and I can't wait for more.
I agree. I am 100% on the same page as you, and I cannot wait to talk about it next week. So,
yeah, only two episodes to go. It's gonna be good.
It is so close, but then we got to remember right after Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, baby. It's gonna be awesome.
2 days after, yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a lot to unpack, a lot to talk about.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be like a two-parter episode.
Probably
do it in one sitting.
Yeah, I'd imagine. I was thinking that in my mind. I mean, it is a shorter film, but you and Tim did do a three-hour Morbius episode, so we'll just leave it up to fans.
And if anybody hasn't listened to that, please at least listen to the beginning.
Definitely listen to it. It was awesome. It was so good. I enjoyed it, and I lived through you for the movie, and thank you for doing that for everybody. You really did, graceful work. Really, thank you.
Minor spoiler for that episode: don't see the movie. Yes. I explain why in the episode. Just don't see the movie.
Yeah. But definitely tune in for the Doctor Strange one because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. All right. I guess we'll call it there.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'll be right back for our outro. Thank you so much for joining us. We love Marvel, so we could do this all day. But for now, we're going to call it a wrap. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, make sure to drop us a like, rate us, follow us, all that good stuff. You can find us all over the web. Links for everything are in the channel description. Make sure to check out the polls on Spotify. We'd love to hear from you guys. And join us next time. We'll be talking about Moon Knight Episode 5. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you 3,000, and we hope you're all staying safe out there.
Thanks, Marvel fans. Take care.